Back this summer, we were, I don't even know how we got on the topic of the veterans treatment courts. And Judge Cleveland reached out and said, I'd love to come on because this is your court, right?
Right. We're trying to start a court in Cass County. There's one up in Grand Forks right now run by Judge Hager. That was approved by the legislature last legislative session, and it was Judge Hager did a lot of work. I'm sure he wasn't alone in that. A lot of veterans helped and supported that throughout the state. But it was a program that the legislature supported, and it was a freestanding bill, so that makes it easier to highlight that. And so we in Cass County, because the VA is here and because we have veterans that are affected and end up in the criminal justice system because of their service, and so we thought it was something that was really important and valid and wanted to start one here in Cass County in the East Central Judicial District, and that's what we've been working on.
And you got it up and running, right? You got the approval for it?
Well, that's a great question. We have gotten the approval from all of the partners, so that would be probation, parole, the court itself, the treatment professionals, and then the Supreme Court approved the creation. But last legislative session, in order to have some coordination of courts that were being created, the legislature changed the statute to permit people to be sentenced to treatment courts. Okay. So that, and then also the funding was going through the Supreme Court budget rather than a freestanding budget. And so that, I think, has prompted the problems that we encountered last week.
So what happened last week, Judge?
Okay, so last week, the Senate passed the amended bill for the funding for the judicial branch, and that bill took out the funding for the Veterans Treatment Court. Now, I'm going to assume, because having looked at it, I'm going to assume it was a misunderstanding or just a lack of information by the legislators of what the impact would be. And I say that because when the bill was submitted, it's Senate Bill 2002, okay. So Senate Bill 2002. And that is an appropriations bill for the Supreme Court. So that funds the Supreme Court, the district courts, and it's the funding mechanism. It's only 2 pages long. And basically,
boy,
it's
that's
just
a surprise.
Numbers.
Wow.
And one would think, well, how are you going to know exactly what you're funding? And so if your role is...
That.
Sure. That's how it was filed. And if your role is to scrutinize and cut back any wasteful spending, and I think that was a good intention of the legislature. So they simply cut a portion of that bill. The testimony tells you that this two-page bill is a fairly complex bill and what all it includes. Because if you look at the testimony, is 16 pages and 10 pages explaining all of the what all of the numbers are. So the funding for the Veterans Treatment Court was removed, and knowing that the legislature had more bills this session than any other past session or more than they've had recently, it's understandable because they have a lot to do. Recognizing that was an understanding, I guess I was really pleased that you were willing to talk with me about the importance of restoring that funding.
No, because this was a Senate bill. Now we've done crossover. Is there any chance of getting this funding put back in?
There is. The House can restore that. Absolutely.
Okay. How much was it? How much did they pull out?
They pulled out, well, as it relates to the Veterans Treatment Court, it was just over $100,000. And that might seem like, well, what does that mean? Why was it so much? Well, it's not to build a new building. It's not to hire a new judge. Those things exist. It was to accomplish the intention of the legislature to coordinate the efforts and have the administrative costs all in one place so that you didn't have different policy manuals, different courts, utilizing different standards. And so it was to coordinate and to consolidate and to use the most efficient method possible to have these courts up and running. So it's money for the coordinators and the training for the mentors. I think we talked about that with Tony before. He's a mentor up in Grand Forks. And to train the mentors for this program.
So $100,000 to fund the Veterans Treatment Court. at what is the total budget? Because you said this this is appropriations bill. This comes out of the Supreme Court budget, correct?
Correct.
And did I read that number right on there? How much the Supreme Court or the whole budget is for the
$128 million? Yeah. So it's easy to get lost when you've got a 2-page bill that totals $128 million, and you're cutting little pieces that in order to be responsible. And I'm not throwing shade at anybody.
No,
at all.
I'll handle that. 128. I'm all about budgets, and I get all that. And when the old Doge, I understand all that. I get it. No, let's get rid of waste. This ain't waste. This to me sounds like whoever did the cutting, they didn't realize what Veterans Court does and how important it is. That's what I got to believe. Were you able to go out there and testify, or did you not know this was going to happen?
I didn't, and I wasn't aware that the hearing was taking place. And
okay.
So that gives me the opportunity to give your listeners some information. The hearing in the House now, because it's crossed over, the Senate passed this amended bill, is going to take place on March 6th, and that's in the Appropriations Subcommittee, Education and Environment. So the subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee, 9:00 on March 6th. And you can see why it's confusing, because the title of the bill is relating to the salaries of the justices of the Supreme Court, the salaries of the district court judges, to provide for transfers, to provide for a report, and to provide for an exemption. So there's no mention at all. So it's understandable when you're dealing with these kinds of numbers and you are asking a committee to make informed decisions. If they don't have the information, that sometimes the result is not what they would expect.
So I have a lot of lawmakers that listen to this program because they message me constantly during the show and on the House side. And if you're listening today, you folks on the House side, because it's in their ball court now.
Correct.
You got to restore this funding for Veterans Treatment Court. It is necessary. They do great things. Explain what the court is, how it works, I should say, Judge, and what kind of success we've had with Veterans Treatment Court.
Absolutely. As I indicated, there is already a Veterans Treatment Court up in Grand Forks. Judge Hager started that. It's been operational for about 18 months now.
And that one now will not be funded either, correct?
No, that was a freestanding bill. So
okay,
it is,
that's on its own.
Correct.
Okay.
So, and they, so the purpose of the court is a post-adjudication. So if people are involved in criminal justice system, rather than send them to the penitentiary or incarcerate,
don't have room for.
That's right. We don't have room for. And it's about $55,000 per person per year.
Mm-hmm.
So individuals who are veterans, who have service-related issues that have prompted them to be involved in the criminal justice system. And that can be post-traumatic stress disorder that creates violent outbursts, or drug use issues or alcohol issues that have prompted them to get involved in criminal activity. They are eligible for a Veterans Treatment Court. It is a high level of supervision, and it is a mentorship program to reinstill the values that people have already been trained in and are aware of and have operated and served our country utilizing those values and displaying those values for our benefit. So it is a court to get people back on track and to utilize extra resources, which the court volunteers to do it, to meet with them every week to make sure they understand specifically what they have to do each week to successfully complete their probation. So it's a responsibility. It isn't a free pass. It is a harder program. It lasts about a year. You get a mentor that is also a service-related individual who is willing to assist a veteran who has had criminal charges. They plead guilty to their criminal charges. They are placed on probation. They are sentenced. There are benefits if you successfully complete the program, and we've seen successful completion.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Forks has accepted two individuals. Even though our court isn't up and running, there are people who need to be in such a court now who are veterans, and Grand Forks has graciously accepted them into their program. But it is, again, we have the VA, we have the numbers, the the scrutiny has already been applied to the program, that it is something that's valid, worthwhile, warranted in Cass County. And the Supreme Court and the Interdisciplinary Committee on Specialized Dockets has reviewed the materials that we prepared for our program and has approved it.
Yeah. So if I'm a veteran, I got post-traumatic stress disorder, I go out, I commit a crime. I'm not talking murder or anything like that. But I commit a crime. I'm found guilty. I get sentenced to 6 months. Do I do that 6 months, or is that you don't do the 6 months? You are going to be on this program.
If you apply for treatment court, the treatment court would be where you are, mm-hmm. and it would be in lieu of incarceration.
Okay.
It is to get people back in the community. Get them working, get them paying off whatever restitution,
sure.
Addressing chemical dependency issues, mental health issues, utilizing the services that are available for those purposes through the VA and other service providers. And the VA has been very supportive of this program. It is this isn't something that I dreamt up. I wish I could say I did, or the Judge Hager did. This is a national program.
Oh, it's national. Okay.
Yeah, and it is All Rise is the national organization, and it is an effort to utilize the resources that communities have to help people reintegrate into society rather than incarcerate them. And then let them free without any skills. You know, it's important to punish people for crimes, but it's also important to recognize that there is a value to rehabilitation and holding people accountable while giving them the support they need to reintegrate into society and be productive members of society. And veterans are a group of individuals that we owe this, this I believe, we owe this to, and they have already committed to the principles of our nation and have served. And I think if that service has resulted in negative outcomes when they return to civilian life, that it is our responsibility as a community to do whatever we can. And that's what persuaded me to take this on as a project and to see it this far and to, with no shame, ask the legislature to restore that funding. I think it's important, and if one is evaluating what programs should warrant the taxpayer dollars, this is one that does.
Yeah, as a taxpayer, I have no problem with this at all. I think this is something that's necessary. It's been proven. It is a successful program, and again, we owe that and so much more to our veterans. And again, if the veteran falls under the Veteran Treatment Court and they're found guilty, it's not a free pass, because if I remember correctly, if you're approved for this, and you're going to be part of this program in lieu of sitting behind bars, it is very strict. I mean, you cannot screw up, because if you screw up, you're going to jail.
Right. That's the hammer over the head. And it is, and individuals are aware of that. It's important to recognize this is not a free pass. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge to individuals to become the individuals they've been before, that they have, and it has proven effective. You have a population that understands responsibility, that understands following orders, that understands the importance of compliance with rules. And that is an entirely different population than some other courts. And so it is, that is why you have the high level of success with veteran treatment courts around the nation.
Yeah, and you have a mentor, a fellow veteran.
Correct. You're partnered with an individual who is volunteering their time to maintain contact with you daily and to assist in whatever issues you need, whether it's you need a ride to the DMV to address your licensing issues. And or do you just need someone to check in to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing?
Yeah. And there's no, you can't be using alcohol, drugs, none of that. I mean, if you test positive, you're done. You're going to jail.
Correct. If the underlying issue is alcohol or drugs, testing provisions are absolutely a significant part of that probationary period.
Well, hopefully. Are you going to go out there and testify?
I am.
Okay.
And I think that that's one of the pieces. again, I am assuming it was
a mistake, just
a lack of information. And again, there are so many bills, and it is hard to get through all of them. And this was one of many that the Senate committee had to deal with. And in listening to the testimony, it is clear that they were looking at dollars, not programs. Yeah. They were looking at the bottom line without saying, what is it and what is the value of this program?
See, and that's a problem. I mean, I'm all for look at the bottom line, but when you're looking at that bottom line, you also have to look at what got you to that bottom line. Okay, how is this money being spent? You got to go through it. And you're right, there's tons of bills, but you still have to know what you're voting on.
Well, and I think that it is, and you can see how this happens. If your objective was, well, let's try to coordinate this and let's put it all in one area so we have a intentional practice when we deal with these courts, so let's put them all into the Supreme Court budget. But then the next session, that objective is forgotten,
yeah.
And you're just looking at the bottom line instead of, now here's what the our policy was to try to create treatment courts to have, so we don't have so much pressure on the penitentiary, yeah. And the local jails.
Yeah.
So it's you have to take a step back and realize this was intentionally done to make it fewer bills for the legislature to deal with. I think that it, you know, this is the, then we have to make sure that they understand that that is why it was included in this bill and the importance of funding that program.
So I'm guessing, yeah. So when it was on the Senate side, because it was a Senate bill, it sort of started out 2002, Senate bill 2002, there was nobody testifying because they didn't realize that this was going to be cut. But this time around, now that it's going to the House, now you'll be able, I got to believe you're not going by yourself, are going to go out there and testify and explain to the lawmakers, look, this is why this is important. Here's the success stories, not just here, but around the country. And this is what we use that small $100,000 for.
Right, exactly. And that's my hope. I will say that when there was testimony by the state court administrator, as I indicated, it was 16 pages of testimony, and the treatment courts were mentioned on page 14. So I'm even sure she got that far in her testimony, or that the committee had an opportunity to really look that critically at the information that was provided, because it wasn't at the top of the list with regard to the budget, which is a fairly significant budget if you need that many pages to explain it.
Yeah, I saw the budget numbers. That's a lot of moolah. So who's going out to testify with you?
Well,
you want me to go out there?
Yeah. Oh, I would welcome you.
Oh, you do not want me out there.
Your voice is out there, whether you
Man.
Are physically present or not. So I appreciate that you are giving me this opportunity to explain to your listeners.
And that's why I wanted you to come, because I know a lot of lawmakers listen to the program in the afternoon. So I know that they're hearing this in a lot of them, both Senate and House, but I got a lot that are on the House side that listen to this program. So I know they're hearing this, and that's why I wanted to bring you in to explain what's going on. So when it comes up here on March 9th at 9 a.m., the hearing, or 6,
March
I'm 6, sorry.
Don't wait till the 9th.
Yeah, March 6th, 9 a.m., there you go.
Right.
That they, you know, they're going to hear this and understand, okay, yeah, I heard that. Okay, I understand what it is.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for your listeners as well to reach out to their legislators. You know, if you go online.
Be nice.
Yeah, be nice. Well, it is easy to, if you have access to the internet, just go on the, just Google North Dakota Legislature, the 69th session or 2025. So, and how to contact your legislator.
Oh,
it's a really, it's a really easy system for people, and or look for their email address. There used to be, 40 years ago, you could just call up and there was a pool of secretaries who would take your message. Now you have to use pretty much by email.
But most of these lawmakers, when I want to get my, when I want to hook up with one that I don't know, I go on their cell phone numbers are listed.
Absolutely. So cell phones and
cell
their
phones,
email addresses.
Emails.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably, cell phone, probably hard to get in touch with them now because they're in session.
But. And if you type in the individual bill number, it in many cases gives you the chance to submit email or written testimony through that website as well.
That's
Ronnie,
correct.
You and I know somebody that's gone through. We know somebody whose brother has gone through
people,
this. Yeah, and it's been an absolute success for him.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. And, we know at least one, if not both of those people are currently VSOs in different parts of the state. So they have turned it around to where they are now assisting other veterans. And I would believe Judge Cleveland would agree that. I mean, that's coming full circle. You're now helping someone else who's gone through that program as well.
Are you going to have veterans that have gone through this and successfully go out there and testify?
You know, I think that's a kind of a significant ask.
I'll show you this off the air. I might have one for you.
All right.
I might have one for you that's gone through it and it's been a success.
Yep.
All right, Judge, anything else before I let you go?
Only that I always enjoy talking with you, and I really appreciate the opportunity, and I think this is so important, and I will keep you posted if we need additional help. I will certainly reach out, but I just appreciate your time, Jay.
We just got to get you in here when we on one of the Fridays I actually work and just have you hang out on a free-for-all Friday because we just screw around and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that kind of person. I am constantly nose to the grindstone.
It's surprising because now she's the Kim Hedvig, state's attorney. Is that what she is, state's attorney? Is that her?
That's correct.
Yeah. So when she was running for office, and her and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but we just, still had her on because she was running. I want to be fair. It was a Friday we had her, and she just decided, I just want to hang. We had a blast with her, man. She just hung out here and, what were we doing? We were talking about songs and taking phone calls, just having a good old time. Yeah. We'll have to have you do that. Ryan was pretty good at doing that, too. Ryan, you got me just to have fun. How's my buddy Ryan doing?
You know, he's doing a great job. He started at...
we're talking about Ryan Younger, by the
Ryan
way, the new
Youngren,
judge.
Who got elected to be a district court judge. And so he is now a couple months in, and he's doing an amazing job. He is there every day. It's nice when someone is visible and clearly... asking questions and making sure that they're prepared for court. And he's doing an amazing job. His investiture is coming up now next week. That maybe would suggest to people that he hasn't been working. That's just the formal when he gets his robe. But he's been working since January.
Now, does he get a brand new robe?
Does he get a hand-me-down?
Hand-me-down?
Nope, he gets one. And it's an interesting process because there's only a couple of places that make actual judicial robes.
Oh, you can't go to like Gumps Display and get one.
I think you can.
It's just not the real deal.
But I think you can order them from. You get a nice one, and it's a really neat special time to get that and get a formal gavel.
He gets his own gavel too.
You bet he does.
Oh, I thought you guys just all shared. I didn't realize
we
you
do share them. They're on all the benches, but you get one that is specifically for you.
Oh,
from
really?
The bar.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Ryan, because I've known Ryan for a while, he's just a great guy. When he announced that he was running for the judgeship, I'm like, he's going to make a fantastic judge. Good for him.
It's nice to have a new face and somebody who is enthusiastic and has the background and knowledge of being in the courtroom. So it's just a really great opportunity to benefit from his knowledge and background.
How long have you been on the bench?
Only 2 years.
Oh, you're fresh too.
I am.
Well, you're not quite a freshman. Close. Close. What would that be? I'd be a sophomore. You'd be a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sophomore.
Yeah, I practiced for over 30 years, so I came to it kind of at the very twilight of my career, and it is an amazing opportunity. So I did criminal prosecution for about 9 years, and then I did child protection, civil practice,
man.
And that kind of tears you up, but it is a fantastic preparation for some of the kinds of cases that you see. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky to have this opportunity. And that's why when Veterans Treatment Court came up, I want to do as much as I can, as fast as I can, because I really wanted this position.
Why did you want to, I don't want to say quit because you're always a lawyer, but decide that, I want to sit on the bench?
That's a great question. I think that on any given day, my answer might be different.
Yeah.
But I think it was... because I thought I would do a good job. I thought I could bring something that other people maybe didn't have. And so I wanted to see if I could serve in that role. And I've been so lucky to be given the opportunity.
I remember asking Ryan that question, Youngren, and I said, man, I mean, you are now, you are going to make decisions that will affect many lives. And that's got to be tough.
And I think it's interesting to remember that daily, because when you are advocating for a position, and being a prosecutor is one particular mindset,
mm-hmm.
Or defending people, it's a mindset. And when you're advocating, you do you advocate your position for your client or the party that you're representing, and you trust the people that you're working with. When you're a judge, you have to determine who to trust, and you have to know that every decision you make has real consequences. Yeah. And so it's a humbling, it's a very humbling experience, and it is like being out in the middle of the ocean and being on a very small boat and having to paddle very hard.
Yeah, I was a very good friend of mine. He was the jury foreman in the Savannah Graywin case.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And he said, even though I believe it was the Savannah Graywin case that he sat on, but he said it was, you know, as a jury in a case like that you are going to make a decision that is going to change lives. And he said it is way tougher than he ever thought it would be, especially a case like that. A judge, it's the same thing in a lot of cases.
Well, absolutely, because cases take a lot longer than a 30-minute installation of a TV show.
Exactly,
And it's you get a lot of information, but you don't get everything. You don't get, like, when you're listening to a TV show, you see the crime committed, then you see the investigation, then it's wrapped up, and so you feel like you know everything. It's not that way in real life, and that's true of everything. Your relationships, you don't know everything about, it is a different experience, and it's very heavy. And jurors have an incredible responsibility, which is, it's not just that it's inconvenient, but it is a really heavy experience, I think, for a lot of people.
So, judge for, by the way, folks, this is Judge County Cleveland, East Central Judicial District. And you don't have to give the case, but you've been doing this 2 years. Has there been a case that to this day it still haunts you as a judge where you still think about that case and the outcome?
I would say that that's every case, because I ponder all of them, and I tend to think about them at night.
Really?
And sometimes things will pop into my, when you're dreaming, it's like, oh, this piece is still in my head.
Wow.
It is all-consuming. I don't know if it's true for everyone, but all cases, and I suppose because I'm new, so I tend to read into so many things and research more than you would if you've already done this for 20 years. So it is like, do you remember when you are in any new experience, any new relationship, going to school for the first time and it's all new?
Yeah.
So it starts to infuse itself in your body. That's what it's like. And so, they're all weighing on me.
Wow, man. I got to believe at some point that'll go away the longer you are sitting.
I don't know. Because when I did child protection, involved termination of parental rights and abuse and neglect of children, I carry a lot of that as well. And it is, those are experiences that I consider privileged to have, but it's like life. If you are truly engaged in life, you have the pain and the joy of all of it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted this. And if it's painful, that's what I asked for.
So are there any like national cases that you follow? You just get as a judge, it's like, I'm roped into this. I gotta. And do you watch these national cases? Or it may not be a national case. It might be a case that is, in New York or whatever, but the nation's following, like these
Gabby Petito
stuff like that, where you're sitting there and actually the robe goes on and you're watching this going, boy, I'm gonna try this in my, or I'm gonna judge this in my mind.
I don't judge them in my mind. I usually think, I wonder what I don't know. I wonder what else the prosecutor knows or the defense attorney knows. I will tell you that I married a man who was in law enforcement, and so it is, a lot of our conversations are about that kind of documentary or show, because we'll talk about, what do you think the investigation, or if you were doing the investigation, what would you have looked for, or who would you have, what kind of questions would you have asked?
That would be fun. Seriously, you guys must have fun doing that.
I was lucky. He's a sweetie. He puts up with someone who is opinionated. And he's if you're in law enforcement, you have to look at things to prove and to disprove. So you have to have a real balanced approach. And he's just a real good egg. And I'm lucky that way. And it's been a really good, it's a good compliment to, I think, two lawyers, that would be a tough, yeah. tougher relationship. This is a this. I'm lucky in this situation.
Well, it's just like my wife Alex, who works over on the flag. She does mornings, and we've both been in radio for years. And yeah, it's just surprising because we don't talk too much about
work
radio. I mean, we will once in a while, but not too much. But yeah, I suppose your guys' minds are always going, always going.
Well, and it's a compliment to the experience you have. You know, the experience that law enforcement has is different than social work has, mm-hmm. is different than teachers have. And he's had a second career now working in education. So he's an interesting person just in general,
yeah.
and constantly scrutinizing and looking at and evaluating things. So it's interesting.
I just imagine walking into Judge Cleveland's house, her and her husband in there, and if you're going to, hey, you want to come over and have whatever. You go ring their doorbell, and Ronnie, the doorbell, it's a theme for Law and Order. That's fantastic. Well, listen, thanks for hanging out.
Exactly.
And again, get a hold of your representatives, not the senators, because it's in the House side now, and tell them, hey, you got to put that funding back that was lost in that Senate bill 2002. Again, the hearing is coming up March 6, 9 a.m. Just, you know, either email them. Call them and be friendly. I mean, don't call them and just start screaming and hollering. I'm just, you know, hey, look, you got to do this. And hopefully you'll get this money back.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Thanks, Judge. Appreciate
it.
You too.
Alrighty.